Hi, welcome to Porn Star Podcast on Adult DVD Talk, brought to you by Adult DVD Empire. I'm dodging cactus out here. Where the hell are we? This is Eli Cross, a.k.a. Bryn Pryor, on the set, one of the many sets of Upload. This set created by the supreme being.
choose your metaphysical... Your metaphysical anomaly of choice created by... this is the Vasquez Rocks. Not the actual national park, but adjacent. A private movie ranch next to Vasquez Rocks. And pretty bizarre-looking landscape.
Yeah, you were saying this is where they shot some famous Star Trek episodes back in the 60s.
They've shot a lot of stuff out here. I mean, if you look up Vasquez Rocks on IMDb, you'll discover that just about anything that shoots in California has at some point shot here, if it ran for any length of time, from Gunsmoke through 24, just shot out here, I guess, not too long ago, and tons and tons and tons of movies and TV. So we're definitely not the first. We're not exactly trailblazing. But I'm not aware of any... I'm aware of porn movies that have stolen footage in the park, but I don't think anybody's actually shot a scene out here before, at least not that I'm aware of. So, if you have, and I'm lying, I apologize.
Well, it's quite a creative location for this, like, two-month-long production, $300,000 epic. You were describing it as kind of a cyberpunk... theme.
Yeah, it's cyberpunk near future action with an asterisk movie. You know, it's action as much as you can do action on an adult budget, which is extremely limited. But we're trying to do what we can do well, rather than trying to do something that's way beyond our means and then making something that's, you know, kind of embarrassing. They always used to, at the beginning of any of the Shakespearean plays that have big battles, there would always be an apology before the battle to the audience, either right before it or at the top of the play, saying, you know, you have to forgive us because it's only a stage and there's five of us, and we don't want to do that because you don't get to apologize in movies. So,
So this is like what Hillary Scott leaping off of rooftops on a motorcycle and. No. But maybe maybe you can just sort of run down the basic premise. I know it's a little complex.
Hillary is a hacker who has in her possession a chip that two federal agents, one of them played by Eva Angelina, the other by Derek Pierce, believe contains a virus, which they think is this Uber virus that could conceivably wreck the economy and bring down the defense grid and allow people to fire nukes. And it turns out that that's not precisely true, but what she actually has is probably much more dangerous, and what they decide to do with it is the story thereafter that follows. What happened to your nipple piercings?
They're out right now.
Damn!
Madison Young.
And her nipples.
And her nipples, which are like these amazing little pencil erasers.
Yes. Amazing large pencil erasers.
Yeah, very large pencil erasers. It's a happy day already.
It's a great day already. I have to work for 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, we need the truck back down to pick up Madison and to bring Lorelei.
I think the truck has just made it.
Oh, okay, great.
That's our little touch of realism.
Yeah, exactly. That was actual work happening on a porn set. That's all I do. I shout at people and I point at things. That's the director's job on a feature.
I'm looking for your chair with, you know...
Yeah.
The, you know, Eric von Stroheim.
Maybe next year. Dizzy's truck.
It's down there.
Good work, then. See, happened so quickly I didn't even have to ask. All right.
So the dangerous virus that is the agents are looking for.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody care enough about the story that I don't want to spoil it?
Don't spoil it. Okay. But maybe, but what you're, like, for instance, the scene today, which will be Madison Young, who just drove by here in her diaphanous purple
purple
cloth.
Yeah, with her giant pencil eraser nipples exposed to the wind.
Yes.
We'll be joined by Laura Lightly and Adriana Cole here on this rock with a leopard print stool somewhere up there. But this scene's all going to be happening like in a fantasy cyber stimulation lab. Like, it's all going on in Evangelina's brain.
It is. It's virtual reality, in the sense that when we see it in the movie, it's not actually happening. It is, but it is something that was recorded that is presented as real. So, in this reality, people have chip jacks that allow them to plug media directly into their cerebral cortex. And Eva Angelina's federal agent is addicted to these sims that she jacks into. And this is one of the sims. Adriana Nicole is playing a character who actually is one of the sim whores, girls who just make these movies either for money or you know, to get other sims if they're addicted or whatever. And her character actually killed Eva Angelina's former partner, played by Tyler Knight. Mm-hmm. And so this is a sim that Eva jacks into featuring the same woman on a night when Eva has had sort of an emotional breakdown. In extremely convoluted fashion that will only make sense if you watch the movie. Jacking this sim actually allows her to figure out how Hillary Scott is hiding this chip that they're looking for.
Gotcha. There'll be like a little cliff notes in the DVD
edition. Yeah, there'll be a little lexicon that comes with it. So you can, those of you playing the home game, turn to page 7.
Well, I was going to ask you that because, you know, there's a lot of talk in the industry about declining sales and profits, and you know, some companies, some producers are trying to just cut things down to the bare limit. I mean, everything but talent fees, I guess. But here, in this case, you've got a huge budget, and I guess coming on the heels of corruption, there's some momentum here. I mean, the theory being, I guess, if you spend more money, you make more money.
Well, everybody said that Bo Kenny from Sexy Pictures was crazy for spending the money he did on corruption, and that he'd never make it back, and that he was just doing it to try and buy awards, and you know, and he's still being told this to this day. And the fact is that corruption has actually done really well and shown a pretty substantial profit, and continues to, because what most adult producers don't pursue is substantial licensing deals. They'll license their content as if they cared about it as much as they apparently do. If all you want to do is make the cheapest thing possible, and everybody knows that you made the cheapest thing possible, then you can't ever make a case for wanting more for licensing that content.
Right.
By that same token, if you're in a position to say no to a crappy deal, which is what everyone will offer you the first time, you can actually get people to come back with a reasonable deal. And if you've made something that you have a good case that it is head and shoulders above something else, which hopefully we'll do again, then you can make more in the licensing, and you know, it's worthwhile. I mean, corruption, like everything else, the DVD sales in the U.S. were fine. They were excellent for U.S. sales, but not enough to make back what we spent on the movie.
Right.
But it did incredibly well on DVD in Europe, and then licensing alone would have more than paid for the movie. So DVD sales have all been pure profit. Mm-hmm. And we haven't even... Actually, I don't know for a fact whether or not they've locked down the licensing on the R-rated cut or not, but I know that they're dancing around with a couple of different deals. So if you make something that's big enough that you can actually do a decent R-rated cut and get it out there somewhere, then that's a whole other revenue stream.
Mm-hmm. You're mentioning, like, this is supposed to be, what, like 3.5 hours? You're thinking?
Let's hope. The thing I'm worried. I mean, you know, Corruption had a 44-page script and 13 sex scenes and was 4 hours and 5 minutes long, and this has a 76-page script and 14 sex scenes.
Longer than Birth of a Nation.
I don't want to release Upload the miniseries, you know? That's job one. So if I end up having to actually cut entire sex scenes to get this thing down, we will, and we'll include them as extras. You know, we're aiming at 3.5 hours. I would really like it to not be any more than that. That seems plenty.
Does the extra length, though, kind of make it easier when you need to get, like, a soft version or an R version out there?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you end up with... Your soft version is two parts, so you actually get to sell the soft version twice for the movie. And then the R-rated cut, I mean, you know, the R-rated cut of this movie, the quote, sex scenes will be 2 minutes long. I mean, they'll be just, you know, T&A.
But there's a market for that, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we'll see. It needs to not be a 6-hour movie.
Well, you were saying earlier, too, they were talking to the French guys who were here interviewing you, that the attitude you have to keep all the time is like, it's not just porn we're shooting. It's like a real movie.
Yeah, well, it's way too much work. I mean, everybody who works on these shows, and I get grief for doing it, you know, when I have castings for these, I'll send out these press releases that sound just incredibly egotistical and obnoxious that say, and they do, and I admit it, but they say things like, you know, look, if you're not interested in doing hard work, if you're the kind of talent who wants to show up and fuck and go home, that's fine, save me and you some time and some grief and don't come in and read. And yeah, that's obnoxious, I admit it, it is, but it's absolutely true. You know, these are long, hard days, and having one person on set or involved in the production who wants to be the Three Musketeers bar in the pool is bad news. It poisons the whole process. It spreads. It's like a virus. It spreads throughout the cast. It spreads throughout the crew. And this is far too much work. It's too hard. You know, you have to approach this as it's the real deal. It matters. If you don't care, don't be here. And that goes for everybody, you know, from the grips and electricians, to the DP, to me, to the makeup people, to the production people, the art department people, and especially the cast. So you have to approach it like that. I mean, it's not going to do anybody any favors to come in and say, well, we're doing an expensive porn movie, but it's just a porn movie. We still want to, you know, I still expect to show up and have my dick and a girl in an hour and go home in two.
Right.
Don't show up. It's not that kind of day.
Yeah. Is it hard to direct people who are used to doing, you know, gonzo scenes to be able to do dialogue and kind of come across credibly?
Well, you know, again, that's where the casting comes in. I mean, if you're careful in casting, and if you... What I have found... Let me back up. What I found with this stuff... Because, again, everybody told me I was crazy. You know? I mean, there's... This show's no different than Corruption in that there's some serious work in here for somebody who wants to act, you know? And if you're careful in your casting and you're careful in the talent that you pick, people really rise to the occasion. And what I've discovered is that if you cast people towards their strengths, you know, because acting... And I mean, I started out as an actor. That's when I was 9 years old. That was the first thing I did. That's my first jobs in the industry. I was an actor. I don't believe acting can be taught. I think you can teach the nuts and bolts skills. You can teach hitting your mark and finding your light and keeping your eye line straight and crap like that. But there's a certain natural character to acting on screen that you can't teach, and some people have it and some people don't. And if you can find the people that have it, then the job isn't getting them to act, it's getting them to not.
Right.
You know, if you can just get them to talk to you, if you can just get them to just strip it down and do the dialogue, then it's not a big deal. You know, people will rise to the occasion. If you treat people like it's serious and it's a job, and you treat them like they're adults, then they'll come to the table prepared with those skills, and they'll give you the same courtesy.
And plus, maybe it's like a good change of pace, you know.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I know for some people that it has been. It's just like, you know, you can only do, I think, so many gonzo scenes in a day before it starts to turn into a rut.
Yeah. Literally and figuratively.
Yes, exactly. And there's nothing against gonzo. I like shooting gonzo. It's easy. This stuff is really hard.
So you mentioned you were a child actor then? mainstream?
I started out 9 years old. I mean, it's not that I've ever done anything that anybody would ever hear of.
Oh, okay.
But, I started out acting when I was 9 and was making my living doing it in Arizona when I decided to move here and become completely obscure and unknown.
And how'd you get into the, you know, the adult industry?
I actually ran Castle Megastores in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And then when I moved out here, I stumbled into a job running magazines.
Yeah.
And then from there to AVN, and in the middle of that, I was doing mainstream directing and still pursuing acting and all of that stuff. And, you know, so here I am.
And now you also, you're collaborating with your partner, Kylie Isle.
Yes. Kylie is the production designer on this and also one of the producers. And, right now, she's back in the valley building our set for tomorrow at Goat House Studios. So that's, otherwise she'd be out here today. She was very excited to come out and do a set of Pretty Girl Stills out here. And yeah, that ain't happening because that set ain't going to build itself.
How long have you guys been together?
A little over 5 years.
Oh, okay. And how does the collaboration work? I mean, does it make things easier to be involved or sometimes more difficult?
Well, it's hard for us because we live where we work, and so neither one of us does anything but work. And plus, I'm also the head of production for Slutworks, which is Kylie's company.
Right.
And so neither one of us just ever stops. We always tell people that we're fun goes to die because we get up in the morning and
porno, it's so glamorous.
Yeah. But I mean, also, you know, she's sober and I never did really drink or do anything. And so we don't party. We don't go out. We occasionally go to a movie. We don't even have TV at home. We occasionally watch a DVD or something. And that's a big night. You know, that's it. So it's like,
So kids, if you're thinking about this.
Yeah. It's like, oh, wow, man, lots of hot sex. No. Lots of 16-hour days sitting in front of my computer. That's what I do. The collaboration is easier in a sense because I don't have to worry about not trusting her or knowing that she knows what I want or worrying about having somebody who's as invested in the project as I am. But then on the other hand, it brings a certain level of personal interaction to things that should just be professional discussions. And so there are times when that gets completely out of hand, you know, where things get taken personally that in a work atmosphere, I would just be able to say, yeah, that's the answer. So it sucks. Get over it. Yeah, you don't get to do that.
You'll be sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. Forever.
Well, let me ask you, you know, because there was a lot of buzz around corruption because of certain types of acts that were included. You know, given all the prosecutorial business going on and the sort of edginess about, you know, fisting, pissing, things like that, how do you guys manage to work that in without freaking people out?
Well, I don't know that we do without freaking people out. I think
some people will always freak out.
Right.
Some people go, yay!
Yeah, I think the big problem is that porn is an industry that is incredibly ignorant of its own history and its own rules.
That's a true statement.
Yeah, and the problem is that now the business is largely run by people who have taken these self-imposed rules and twisted them to mean that, well, you can't do this and you can't do that and that's illegal, and it's a myth. There's nothing that's illegal. As long as everybody's over 18 and they walk on two legs, you can more or less do what you want to do. The question is, can it be considered obscene or not? Well, newsflash, if it's a federal prosecution, if 8 people, but if 12 people say that something is obscene, it is. It could be the Mickey Mouse show. It could be Playboy magazine. It could be Cosmopolitan. It could be Hustler. If they say it's obscene, it's obscene. And if a prosecutor thinks that they can get a conviction against it, that's fine. But your big protection against obscenity are, of course, the 3 prongs of the Miller test. And that all-important third prong is that if
What is being considered has artistic or literary merit. It cannot be considered obscene.
Which is why we can read Ulysses here in the nice...
Exactly. It's the whole reason that features exist in the first place, is that the guys who were making loops in the 70s got tired of being busted for obscenity for just having people fucking on film, which sounds a lot like Gonzo to me, and so they started making movies with a story. These guys did not, by and large, aspire to be filmmakers. They were in the business of doing business and trying to figure out how to not get busted for obscenity. So this was their loophole. Make the sex part of a story. It has literary and artistic merit. It can't be considered obscene. Well, this movie is no different than Corruption. Corruption is filthy. Absolutely. No doubt about it, and has a bunch of things in it that people think you can't do. Well, we did them. And we released it. And the sky didn't fall in, and the earth didn't crack, and nobody's been busted for selling it yet, because I'm sorry, but no prosecutor anywhere can look at that thing and think that they can get away with a conviction against that, against a third-pronged offense. You may not like the story in Corruption, but you cannot deny that there is a story in Corruption. I've got hours of footage of us having all kinds of pre-production meetings about the color, tone, and palette of the movie and how certain colors are going to represent certain characters and how we're going to shoot people's...
Chroma.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to shoot certain people's footage in a certain style to represent their character. And then I've got a 44-page script, and I've got, you know, we had entire days where there was no sex at all, and I'm sorry. If you want to try and drag that into court and say that there is no artistic or literary merit, good luck. And if there is, it's not obscene. Well, the same thing is true here. You know, there's definitely a story. Again, do you like it? Don't know. Is it Shakespeare? No. But it's there, and you can't deny its existence. So yeah. It'd be really, really hard to find this movie obscene.
It was create a context, and then they can't.
Well, exactly, and I mean, it's you know, it's sort of, it's beyond a context, because they can't just watch a scene in a prosecution. They have to watch the movie. You know, they have to watch everything that's on that release. They have to watch the BTS. They have to watch everything. And you couldn't sit through one of these movies where, you know, let's say this movie is 3.5 hours long, and 2 hours of it is movie. Yeah, sorry, good luck.
I imagine a jury like wanting to hit the fast forward.
Yeah. It's like, hey.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Hey.
Just kidding.
Get off my rock. But yeah, you
let's
know.
Get to it.
Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah. So, the scene, back into the sex thing, I mean, like, the scene today, three lovely women together on a giant rock, naked. Are they just going to kind of do their thing, or are you kind of giving them certain instructions, or how does it all sort of work?
Well, I'm going to let them go. And again, it's careful casting. I know Adriana, and I know Lorelai well. I haven't shot Madison a lot, but I've been told great things about Madison. And if the girls end up peeing on each other and doing some fisting, I love it. It's great. Am I going to flip out if they don't? No. You know, I'm gonna put it out there, and if they go for it, terrific. You know, I actually don't work that way. I pretty much let people do what they want to do. What I don't do generally is say no.
And that's actually what tends to happen mostly on sets. So somebody will say, "Oh, well, stop! I can't put that in the movie."
And which I've never understood, because if you can't use it, cut it. You know, why do you want to fuck up what the performers are doing? Even if you work for a company where, okay, that's against their restrictions, cut it out. That's what editing is for. And then don't tell somebody beforehand, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Well, okay, you can't use it, cut it, but you're going to screw up the heat of the scene. So, yeah, I'd love it if these girls do that. If they don't, I'm still going to get a great scene.
Oh, yeah, I think without a doubt.
So that's where that stands. And this movie will end up having two releases. Hopefully, there won't be a big screw-up at the author, and there'll be two simultaneous releases, as opposed to one that then comes out a month late. Yeah. But this will be, you know, there'll be two simultaneous releases, and it can be, you know, the stores can pick and choose, like, with or without. We'll see. So,
make everybody happy.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thanks for taking some time. Looks like we're getting closer to the, well,
denouement.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, it's been a Porn Star Podcast here on the magnificent, I feel like they should be dropping like a Cadillac from the sky or something, like one of those commercials, you know?
Next show.
Yeah, we're a big rock with Eli Cross, a.k.a. Bryn Pryor, director of Upload. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Brought to you by Adult DVD Empire. We can get all those movies, I hope.
Well, I don't know if they carry Corruption.
We'll find out.
All right.
Check it out.
They do now.
Yeah.
I think they do now.
All right. Well, there you have it.